read that from 1944 to 1956.
Here in Squirrel Hill?
In Squirrel Hill, yes.
Well, of course, I didn't live here.
Yeah.
Was it called Gordon's?
No, it was known as the Squirrel Hill Bakery. And I also owned one, subsequently I owned one in East End known as the Consumer's Bakery.
Mm-hmm. And you're retired now?
No, not yet.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know that.
No, not
Where do you work?
Oddly enough, in the same bakery which I owned rather.
Yeah.
But it's now located in a different building.
Which one? Is that the one in East End or in Squirrel Hill?
No, in Squirrel Hill, Lieberman's Bakery.
It used to be yours?
Yeah.
Oh, I know. I used to live on Murray Fleming and I used to go in there.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. That happened to my uncle. He sold his bakery to his son.
Yeah.
And then he became a worker in his son's bakery. If you could live this part of your life over, what kind of work would you go into? That's a toughie.
If I'd have an opportunity to have an education, I'd become either a lawyer or a doctor or an accountant.
Uh-huh. You think you'd like that, you know. What schooling did you have in Pittsburgh?
I went for 3 months to the East Park School when I first came.
Mm-hmm. It was this for adults?
Adult, yeah.
Evening?
No.
Day.
Regular day, yeah.
But there were adults? Because you were a big boy. You weren't a
yeah.
little kid. You sat with the little kids?
Yeah. Yeah. For 3 months.
That took nerve.
And subsequently, night schools.
Which ones do you remember?
Shenley, Fifth.
Well, that's already high school.
Yeah, night school. That's the only place you could have gone to night school.
Mm-hmm,
night school,
mm-hmm,
public
mm-hmm.
school.
And did you complete any kind of
no,
certificates?
No,
no. No. When did you stop going to school?
Oh, when I was about 25.
Mm-hmm. How did you learn to speak English? Because you speak very well.
In the beginning, I acquired it in the house,
mm-hmm.
which didn't take me very long. I could, although I had no schooling in Polish, but somehow during the years between 1914 and 1918, somehow I acquired the ability to read the Polish language.
Mm-hmm.
And since Polish is Latin letters, I could read the
mm-hmm.
newspapers, although I didn't know what I was reading about,
yeah.
but I was able
yeah.
to read.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't take me very long to acquire the language.
Did you do a lot of reading?
I do a lot of reading.
And writing English the same way?
No, I wouldn't say that. Yeah, I could write.
No, but also because it was the Latin alphabet.
Yeah, yeah,
made
yeah,
the transition.
Yeah, because I have very poor handwriting. Typewriter I can manage.
Did you have Gentile classmates in any of your classes? And what were your relationships with them?
Casual.
Mm-hmm. Did you see any of them socially?
No.
Did you go to any Hebrew school here in
No.
Pittsburgh?
No.
Did you like music?
Very much.
Did you play a musical instrument?
No.
Did you go to concerts?
Yes.
Where, when, you know, what kind? Do you remember any?
Oh, yeah.
Tell me.
And sure. During the early, prior to the formation of the Pittsburgh Symphony,
mm-hmm.
visiting out-of-town orchestras would come, like the New York Philharmonic, the Minneapolis Philharmonic.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I remember that distinctly because its conductor, a large mustache, and we would go, at that time they played, Friday night and Saturday afternoon. And
where did they play?
At Surrey Mosque.
Mm-hmm.
And a group of us would get together, buy 2 tickets or so, and then we'd go in and bring out the stops and get in the whole game.
Oh, that's what's done when you don't have money. Did you go to the Yiddish theater?
Whenever it was available, yeah.
Do you remember any of the groups that came or any places where they came to?
Well, I think in the early 30s, up on the hill, there used to be, when they first built the Roosevelt, they played in there. It started as a Yiddish theater. Then across the street was the Lendo Theater.
In the early 30s, there was a theater where there is now the Roosevelt.
Yeah. Or rather, it was the Roosevelt. When it first
what was it called? Roosevelt Theater?
Roosevelt Theater,
oh.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know the hill. Remember,
yeah.
I'm a greenhorn here.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then Landau Theater. And then you had groups coming.
Coming, yeah, the New York the troops with the tour just like they do now.
Mm-hmm. lectures?
Yeah.
Where?
They used to have lectures at the Shelley High School. There was a Dr. Clausen, a Protestant minister that used to conduct it. And on numerous occasions, there were three Morris, I even recall I once heard Dorothy Thompson,
mm-hmm.
Fulton Lewis Jr., and the Shelley Forum used to have a couple of Germans, Thomas Mann's son and daughter Erica and Thomas Mann.
Where was this?
At the Shelley High School.
They came?
Yeah, yeah, they were brought in by this clergyman, Dr. Clausen, who subsequently moved to Pittsburgh.
Did you, Clausen, oh
yeah.
I love Klausner. Did you go to the library in Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
Which one?
Carnegie, Central Carnegie Library.
Central, not the one on the hill.
No, really,
because
once
you went
a while.
Outside, I see.
Yeah.
Was there a lot
well,
of
by that time
outside?
I started going to the library, I already lived on the hill, but rarely I'd go to the,
mm-hmm.
mostly
oh,
after.
Oh, so you moved to the hill after
yeah,
from that,
huh? Yeah, subsequently, yeah.
What newspapers did you read?
The Day, Jewish Day.
The Day.
Yeah.
Did you ever hear of the Volksfreund, or that was before your time?
Who?
The Volksfreund.
Volksfreund, that was before my day.
Before your time.
Before my
okay.
day.
When you came to the United States, did you think of yourself as a religious person?
No. The war years, somebody wrote that religious beliefs of a lot of people.
I see. Even though you didn't work on Shabbos?
Not because...
because of your business.
That's right.
Well, then the next question isn't really apropos. The question is, did you change any of your religious practices during your first 5 years in
no.
Pittsburgh? So you stayed around the same as well. Did you attend a synagogue here in Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
Which one?
If you've noticed, you want to have that on the record. If you noticed a couple of weeks ago, there was an announcement in the Chronicle that a synagogue in Northside
yes,
was sold.
Yes, I saw the picture.
That's the first one that I went to. Because
remember the name of it?
Let's see if I can.
That's something about it?
But Jacob, I think.
That's Jacob.
Yeah.
How often did you go?
Every Friday night.
Really? With your mishpacha,
yeah.
with your uncle,
that's right.
the whole family,
that's
yeah.
Right.
And, well, I suppose when you you carried out observances in your own home? Or your
and
aunt
no.
did?
Yeah, in their house, yeah, sure.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
And then after you were married?
Very limited.
I don't mind. Okay. Did you experience any change in health when you first came to Pittsburgh due to the
no.
climate or food or anything
no.
like that?
No.
Now, when you needed medical care, where did you go?
To an MD.
Do you remember any of these places or names or?
Well, while I lived in the North Side, there was a doctor there on the same street. I can hardly recall his name. I cannot recall
no.
his name.
And did you use any of the clinics or hospitals?
None until after I got married and I first got tonsillitis. I had to remove
what
my
What year would
fear.
You say this was?
It was must have been in 34.
Oh, then
no,
only 1934 did you really need
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, because that's already the later period
yeah,
that we're
yeah,
not dealing with.
Yeah.
What were the first organizations you belonged to here in Pittsburgh?
Baker's Union.
Baker's Union. Did you belong to any Zionist group or labor group
no.
or socialist group? You didn't
no.
belong to Workman's Circle
no.
or any of that. Did you belong to any charitable organizations?
No.
Did you belong to a synagogue?
No.
No. Did you contribute to Pushkies or any other way?
Yes.
In which way? I mean, some people...
Oh, well, somebody approached you for a donation and you give it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Where did you go to have a good time?
Well, mostly my so-called social activity, or rather the amusement activity, concentrated on concerts or movies or
mm-hmm.
plays.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did you go with your wife?
Yeah.
And did you, before you got married, did you go with friends of the same sex or mixed groups?
Mixed groups.
Mm-hmm. Did you participate in any sports?
No.
Did you go to any sporting events?
No.
Do you know of the existence of the YMCA? And if yes, did it help you in any way?
Not until, but after about 10 years I were here.
Mm-hmm.
No, it didn't matter to me one way or another.
Did any non-Jewish agencies help you in your adjustment?
No.
Were there any local meeting places like restaurants or cafes or halls where the gang would meet or people would come?
Yeah, the Weissman's restaurant up on Center Avenue.
Ah, that's what I was waiting for.
Yeah.
Can you tell me a little bit about it?
Well, the whole socially oriented Jews that lived on the hill that would participate either in the Workman's Circle or the socialists, after their meetings they would gather there and argue and cajole for 2-3 hours.
No, it was not the Orthodox crowd.
The socially oriented people.
And I heard that you could sit there for hours over one glass of tea.
Yeah.
It sounds like fun.
Oh yeah.
How did you meet people during your first 5 years here?
Mostly through the bakery.
You mean they come in and that's how you Were you friendly with any non-Jews?
During my entire career or...
No, the early period of adjustment.
No.
And did any of your first friends that you had met during your early stay remain friends through life?
No.
Did you have family here in Pittsburgh? Yes.
Yes.
Were you close socially with them?
Yeah.
Yes. With whom did you celebrate the Seder and Pesach?
When first I lived with my uncle, and then after I married with my father-in-law.
Mm-hmm. Did you maintain contact with your family in Europe?
Yes.
Can you give me some detail what happened to them, how?
Well, in 37 I took a trip to Europe, my hometown.
Oh, you were the one coming back from America.
Yeah. And I've seen my family, my brothers.
Your whole family was still alive?
Yeah.
And? 1937.
Huh? Yeah.
And?
And I spent about a month there and then
went
back.
Did they want to come to America or what?
Of course.
But they couldn't get visas or they couldn't get visas?
Nah.
And that was it?
Yeah.
Was there anybody left?
Yeah, I have a sister who had run away from Poland to Israel. Must have been about 1935.
Mm-hmm.
She subsequently married there.
She
about 5 years ago she came to New York.
Do you see her? Do you have a sister?
Yeah.
Do you have any other relatives that are in Israel?
Cousins.
Do you correspond with them?
No.
Are you an American citizen?
Oh yeah.
And how did you get your citizenship?
By being the usual course of being naturalized.
When did you first vote?
I think in the 1928 elections.
What party did you belong to then?
I registered as a Democrat.
Do you know why?
Simply because the Republicans were pro-business and I wasn't in the business cycle, so obviously it was just a matter of following your social inclinations.
Were you active in the Democratic
No.
Party? When did you first meet the person that you married?
That's a long story. I think about 1924, I went to New York on an excursion to see Yiddish play.
Mm-hmm.
And on the train I met her.
She was a Pittsburgh girl?
Yeah. And one nice day, 5 years later, I went to rent a room, and there she was, was her mother's house.
That's how you...
Yeah.
How old were you when you got married?
Let's see, 28 years.
How old was she?
25.
Do you remember the date that you married?
Yeah. October 25th, 1932.
You were married here?
Yeah.
And you knew each other how long?
Approximately 3 years.
Mm-hmm. This was not a shidduch, obviously.
No.
If you had stayed in Europe, do you think you would have been married through a shidduch?
Definitely.
I'll tell you, some of our people don't understand the word prearranged, and that's why I use the word shidduch. Was your wife from the same country in Europe?
No.
Where is she from?
Ukraine.
Any, do you know where?
Yeah. This name of the town is Pavlich. It's P-A-V-L-I-C-H.
Which could be on you?
Kiev.
Oh. And so obviously not from the same country.
No.
And here's a touchy question. Did you or your friends or family marry non-Jews? And what was your feeling about this?
Well, how far would you extend family?
I guess brothers, sisters.
None.
So. No. And what is your feeling about this?
If people of different faiths have a cultural interest, it might work out. But among less cultured people, I don't think it, it's a good idea.
Mm-hmm. In other words, your disagreement or opposition is not based on religious beliefs, purely. Many young couples today have trouble getting along with each other. What were your problems of adjustment during the first years of your marriage?
None.
Who made important decisions in your home?
It all depends to what field it related. If it related to my field, I would. If it's something about the house would fall within the scheme of my wife's activities, she would.
And was this different or the same as your home back in Europe where you grew up?
Very much different.
How?
My father would take all the responsibilities.
Mm-hmm. What kind of schooling? Do you have any children?
No.
Oh, then this is not apropos. Now, we still have a little bit of tape left, and we still have some paper left. And I was wondering if you'd like to tell me a little bit about the early years or interesting experiences or something that strikes you about your early years of adjustment that you think might be interesting. You know, you've more or less gone along with what we've been doing here.
Yeah, well, to be perfectly frank, I had no problem with adjustment or were not aware of adjustment problems for the simple reason that I came from a cultureless atmosphere or environment, and anything above that was so much pleasant that I had no problems with adjustment. And in my opinion, that people that come, regardless of the background, if they have attained the same cultural level, they should have no problems with adjustment.
In other words, you felt that the environment that you entered, they offered you more than the
environment. That's right.
Some of the people we talked to mentioned problems of anti-Semitism. I guess you didn't encounter?
No. For a simple reason, the people I came in contact with, or had the occasion to come in contact with, were mostly in the labor movement. And as far as my experience goes, we don't encounter any. We call it the Jewish Union, but right now it's probably 75% consisting of non-Jews.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I had the experience when I first went into business and found a little Italian boy of 18, and he spoke Yiddish. And I inquired how did he come about it, and this is odd. It seems that the employer's wife had worked as a domestic for a Jewish couple, or a Jewish butcher, and she acquired the lingo. In turn, she taught him how to speak Yiddish. Until today, when he greets anyone that's Jewish, he speaks to him in Yiddish.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. In other words, Local 44 includes non-Jews who are working in Jewish bakeries.
That's right.
But they have
to
go through some period of apprenticeship to learn that you don't mix the chazah. No, I'm kidding.
Well,
I mean, that they learn how to work.
Everyone goes through the apprenticeship. Either it comes as a skilled craftsman, having to paint a skill elsewhere, or of late we have tried to...
Any classes in baking?
No. They do have, not the South High School, I think, has classes in baking, but that is related to non-Jewish products.
Well, how do you get new blood in?
That's a good question. It seems so somehow that the industry is somewhat, whether by nature or by design, it's not by design, I'm sure, we don't need any bakers, and we don't have any bakers.
You have here in Pittsburgh about, I would say, 8 Jewish bakers?
Yeah, yeah, but there is a certain amount, in the first place, automation is coming in very fast.
Mm.
And that reduces the required skill for baking. For instance, take the United Baking Company. They're a full automated plant. And you don't have to be a baker to work in their bakery. So what they do is they elevate the lowest classifications to higher whenever the need arises. And as far as the other bakers where skill is needed, so far we haven't run short of any.
Mm.
But once in a while we have a case where the owner's a relative, a grandson or a son acquires a skill and subsequently becomes a baker. But so far there has not been a shortage in bakers.
Now if an owner's son comes to the business, he has to join the union?
Yes.
In other words, only the owner doesn't have to belong.
Right.
But is the owner allowed to bake?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm just wondering
if you know. Yeah.
Does your local also include the ladies who sell in the bakery?
No.
Bakers? Which big organization are you affiliated with? Are you a CIO?
They're both the same now.
Yeah,
it's
no,
fine.
No, but originally they were separate.
In 1957, the Spillikort in our organization, because the international offices were found to be corrupt. And they were ousted from the FFL, and a new charter was granted by the FFL to a new group known as the American Bakery and Confectionery Workers Union.
Mm-hmm.
Because both groups function nationally.
Mm-hmm.
But ours is with the new outfit, the American Bakery and Confectionery Workers.
Mm-hmm.
And we seem to have more or less a solid foundation.